Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for a beautiful week. I thank you for the rain, the springtime, and things greening back up, and just a good time to be alive and be able to come out. We're all blessed to be able to come to church today, and we're blessed to have a good church to come to, and I thank you for that. I thank you that the buses ran safely today, and pray that you would help them get home safely, and help us to have a good service in here. Help the preaching service to go the way you want it to, and the singing and everything that's done be done to your glory. And dear Lord, we've got a long prayer list of all these folks that's got cancer, and some of them are in very serious states. And I pray that you'd be especially close to them, close to their families, and draw them to you. And through this tragedy that's in these lives, may people be drawn to you that otherwise may not have been. Now, I thank you again for our class. I pray that you'll be with Gary and Debbie and Sarah and Joy and the baby, and help them to have a good day today, and be with everything that's said and done here today. May you be pleased with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This week, I was looking in the mirror one morning, and I said, you know, Linda, I believe I'm getting better looking. And she says, well, it must be that medicine you're taking. I said, you think it is? And she says, yeah. It says right on the bottle, may cause blurred vision. That's true. The medicine did say that. I got to look at that medicine. And some of you older ones, if you're not on any medication today, prescribed medication, you don't know what you've got to look forward to. I used to, when I was in my 30s, I'd never taken any prescription medicines. And I'd hear about all these people. My mother-in-law and father-in-law was talking about all, they're taking 6 and 8 prescriptions. And now I'm down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 myself. And I got to think about that. It does say on my bottle, it may cause blurred vision. So I have a new smartphone, and it's got one of those apps on it that tells you all about medicine. And so I just looked up the medicines that I'm taking to see what the side effects were on them. The one that has blurred vision is called Frenicide or something like that. I don't know what. They make these big names. Why they just couldn't call it XYZ drug or something. But anyway, not only does it cause blurred vision, it causes muscle cramps, weakness, dizziness, confusion. I've got all these things too. I don't know why that doctor gave that. Maybe Linda paid him off to give me this prescription or something. It caused thirst, upset stomach, vomiting, headaches, restlessness, constipation, and constant urination. So if I have to leave anytime soon, you don't know what's going on. One of those things has got to me. So I said, well, I'm going to look these other medicines. And this is honest truth. This is what that app on my phone said that these caused or could cause. The next one, it had all these other things that the first one had. I'm just going to list the ones that I thought might really be a problem. It said unusual bleeding. I can't imagine a medicine that causes you unusual bleeding being good for you. And yellowing of the skin. And I thought, well, maybe that's made in China or something. So, then another medicine I've got had all those other things. And then it said one of the things is this difficulty breathing. I really want something that helps me breathe, not makes it more difficult. And then it says pounding of the heart. And I thought, well, now there's sometimes I don't mind my heart pounding, but right after breakfast and going to work, I don't want my heart pounding. And then the last one that I checked on had all these other things. I mean, it would take it all the lesson time just to list all the different side effects that these medicines have. And then it said the two things on it was fainting and chest pain. And I thought these things are supposed to try to help me. But I thought all these side effects, and when I went to get the prescription, the druggist never said anything about it. The doctor never said anything about it. He says, you just need this. Your cholesterol is getting high. Your blood pressure is getting high. And you need to take care of all this. I was in my doctor's office, and he was telling me, of course, he's slim and trim and young. And he was telling me, I don't eat white potatoes. I don't eat hamburgers. I don't eat all this other stuff, and he kept going through everything that I enjoy eating. And I finally said, Doc, just wait this minute. You don't know what you're missing. And he doesn't. He doesn't know how good all these foods are. But maybe that's the reason he's got. And I guarantee he's probably on some of these medicines himself. So, but anyway, I thought that was a little side note. And the lesson today, though, the Lord just kind of, I kept wondering what I was going to teach. I tell you what, following Gary as a teacher, it's really a challenge. And because he always does such a good job. And I didn't want to go. I tell you what, these lessons he's had here lately in Colossians have been deep. And I'm just not able to dig that deep. So I'm glad that he can. And do what? Yeah, it's all that medicine. I might do a better job if I quit taking medicine. I hadn't thought about that. Well, that's probably true. But anyway, when I was talking about this blurred vision, and I got to thinking about all the side effects that these medicines have, but then we have side effects or unplanned for consequences in our everyday life. Unintended consequences is a phrase that's being used a lot now on national TV, on the news shows and stuff, because they say the government did this, but they didn't intend for this other thing to happen that was because of what they did. And so we're getting, and I never heard that phrase, I don't guess, until just recently, unintended consequences. But I got to thinking, our lives are filled with these things. And everything that we do has some kind of consequence. Hopefully, it'll be a good consequence. Hopefully, you'll have an intended consequence. So turn to Psalms chapter 1. This is my favorite psalm in the Bible, I guess. And I've read it and studied it and taught from it before, but maybe never in this text, in this frame of thought. But in Psalms chapter 1, we'll read the first couple of verses. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." The first thing this starts off, and we're going to call this intended consequences. In other words, you're doing this for a purpose. You're doing this to have a certain outcome. And in business, we do certain things. We advertise to have an outcome of selling something. We try to hire good people to work for us that can be good employees. And if you have a business, well, you do the same thing that I do. And you hope that your intended consequence will be a good one, and that that employee will produce and be a joy to work with. But sometimes you get unintended consequences from employees and other things. But the scripture, as it was written here, it was said, these first two verses gives us an intended consequence. If you want to be blessed, and I don't think there's a person in here in the right mind, even if they are on a lot of medication like me, would not want to be blessed in their lives. And it says that the blessed man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And you know, lots of times, of course, I have been bad all my life not to seek counsel when I should have sought it. Not to listen to other people and just jump into something and headlong and then find out that I got a lot of those unintended consequences because I didn't listen to wise counsel. But wise counsel will never go against God's word. If you're seeking counsel for a problem you've got with anything in your life, I don't care what it is, if you're seeking counsel and somebody starts giving you counsel that goes directly against the Bible, then you're getting yourself ready for some unintended consequences. I guarantee it. Never fails. You know, there's one good thing about the Bible is that from cover to cover, like I heard this guy say, from index to maps, he believes it all, and I believe it all. I really do. I don't understand it all. I'm glad that I have preachers and teachers that can explain it to me and explain it to me in the in the way that I can understand it and can use that information. But anytime you're seeking counsel, you need to compare it with what God says. If somebody's telling you to do something that the Bible says you should not do, then, buddy, you've got some unwise counsel that you're dealing with. In raising children, and that's something that's near and dear to all of our hearts. And of course, our children are raised, but if you're going to get counsel to raise your children, your best counsel for that is right here in this Bible. And if you'll raise them the way this Bible says, that 9 out of 10 times, they're going to turn out a lot better than they're going to turn out with the world's counsel. The world counsel will tell you, well, you shouldn't spank them. You shouldn't do this. You don't want to break their wills and all this, that, and the other. But when we were raising children, why, none of this stuff was heard of. It had Dr. Spock then, but I didn't have enough sense. Or I had enough sense to avoid that book. But we spanked our children, not abused them. I think children are meant to be spanked in the proper way. And the Bible says that if you spare the rod, you're going to spoil the child. And there's not a person in the world that spared the rod that didn't spoil their child. I've never seen a child, at least in my own family, that didn't need a spanking every now and then. And some of them, and ours got it, if we were in the middle of Walmart or wherever we were back in that day. Today, you can't do that. I mean, they will have you under some kind of a law enforcement real quickly if you do it out in the open public. But I was in the barbershop the other day, and there's this little boy. He was about 5 years old. He was laying in the floor. And at Earl's barbershop, if any of you guys go there, he's got a little toys and stuff up there for the kids to play with. And this kid had all the toys down there. And this was on Saturday morning, and the barbershop full of people, and you'd have to walk over him and walk over the toys. And his daddy and mama was in there, and his dad was going to get a haircut. And I tried to make friends with the little boy, talk to him or something, waiting my turn. And he wouldn't talk. He wouldn't do anything. And the dad said, if you don't get up, I'm going to take you in the bathroom and talk to you. And I thought, well, I could talk to him out here. But if you take him to the bathroom, you better do more than talk. Well, he finally took him to the bathroom. And then the mother went in there. And I didn't hear him crying or anything. But the whole time his dad was carrying him in there, he said, let me down! Let me down! I mean, you could hear him outside the barbershop. Well, it came time for him to get his hair cut. I thought, boy, this is going to be fun to watch this. And Earl, being the wise man he was, he said, his dad said, boy, down there. And Earl looked down at him and he says, son, do you want me to pull your teeth or cut your hair? That boy said, I want a haircut. He sat there still. He sat there unmotionless. I mean, I didn't sit as still as he did when I got my haircut. But, and that's basically teaching us that we need wise counsel in raising our children. If you're having a problem with your spouse, you don't need to go to a psychiatrist for it. You need to go to the Bible. The Bible tells us, husbands, love your wives. Well, that's hard to do sometimes. And it says, wives, be in subjection to your husbands. I guarantee you, Linda has a hard time with that because some of my ideas are plumb off the wall. And I'm under the influence of that message she's got for me. But our Bible is always our best source of reference for anything. And another thing about unintended consequences, I think when mankind started, and I know this is I sat under Preacher Lassley for 20 years listening to this, but and it got to where it stuck with me. I think that, I know this is an interpretation of the original scriptures, but I believe this interpretation, the old King James, is an interpretation that's been blessed by God. And when they started all these other, of course, most of them were started for money's sake. But I believe that they got some unintended consequences out of all these different versions that are out here. When you go into, I have some of my children go to Southern Baptist churches. And if you got up there and read from this King James version of the Bible, they wouldn't know what you were talking about. And they said, well, they made it to where we can understand it better. And that may be the case, but I don't have too much trouble understanding it. And if I don't understand it, I can sit here and listen to a good Sunday school teacher or listen to a good preacher, and sooner or later he's going to explain a scripture that I don't understand. And so I think they had unintended consequences when they started these different versions that they didn't think would ever happen. It caused a lot of confusion, and it's degraded the Bible to where that people say, well, if they say it says this and somebody else says it says that, then it puts doubt in some people's mind, or a young Christian's mind, or a person that's contemplating becoming a Christian. But anyway, that's another story. Wise Christians will not stand for what's not right. Or they'll not stand for anything that's wrong. It says in here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. A wise Christian needs to flee from sinful situations. If you're going to be counted as wise in the sight of the Lord, you need to stay away from them. You know, lots of times I'm invited to go places where there's nothing going on but something that I don't need to be involved with. And I'm showing my ignorance if I go into those places. You really are. And so we need to stay away from them. A wise Christian will not sit thinking less of others. Now, I've got a friend that just went through a major church split. And it's really strange our relationship, because I have other friends that was on the opposite side of the church split. And I've never been in a true church split. And I know that's how a lot of churches get formed and made. And I hope I'm never involved with one. I plan on staying here till the Lord calls me home. And with all these things that I've got going on in my life, it may be soon, but when he decided, he and his wife decided they were going to leave that church, and they took a bunch of people with them, took the preacher with them, and of course it was a good-sized church. The first thing they did was they started on this Facebook. Start telling how the Lord was blessing their new church, and just really going on about how that if you wanted to be where the Spirit of the Lord was, you need to come to their new church, and you could tell who it was directed to. It was directed to the people that were left in the church, and it wasn't any skin off of me, but it just really bothered me. And so I told someone that I knew it would get back to them. I didn't have enough guts to go and tell them face to face like I should have. But I told it in a roundabout way, so I knew the person I was telling it to was very good at telling, spreading it on, you know. I didn't have to put it on Facebook. And I knew that when I said it, and maybe I was a little mean in doing this, but I said, you know, I never saw a single solitary word on Facebook or anything else when they were in their church. All I heard was great things, how good the church was, but they never published it to where people outside the church would read it. And as soon as they left that church, where they'd been for a number of years, and took a bunch of people with them, then they started publishing about this new church. And it just hurt me for the people that was left behind. So have enough wisdom about yourself if you ever leave this church. Don't start doing something like that. Or if you're a new member here from another church, don't start throwing off on your old church, even if you didn't like it. There had to be something good about it, or you wouldn't have stayed as long as you did. And let's be, we should, what I told them is that they should have been praying for the old church, that it would continue to do good and get back to where it should be. And then I would have felt good about praying for the new church. But it just turned me off so much. And I think a wise person that's going to live right can't never sit in judgment of other people. I mean, so many times we'll say, well, I sure would never do that. Or I wouldn't let my kids do this. Or I would certainly have done that differently. And boy, that'll come back to bite you right you know where. So many times when you think that way, it has me so many times. And I know this is a little different Sunday school lesson than what y'all used to, but I just tell you like I see it. but anyway, it's talking about if you want to be blessed, you need to learn these things that in this first verse. The second verse, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Well, I tell you what, I want to be blessed, and I love studying the Bible and learning about it, but I don't know that I've ever meditated on it day and night. But I got to thinking, how do we meditate? How do we learn about the Bible? We'll learn about it today. You might not learn much today, but next Sunday you'll learn a lot more, and maybe in the service to come, you'll learn. And it's day and night. We're going to come back tonight. So when you get through Sunday school, even though you may have enjoyed it immensely or you may have not liked it at all, don't leave. Stay for church. There's some more meditation getting ready to happen right after Sunday school. And if you know people that come in, I see lots of folks coming in for church that don't come to Sunday school. And I think, I just think that people ought to be in Sunday school and church. They ought to be in church on Sunday night. They ought to be in church on Wednesday nights. And maybe that won't sit good with some of you folks, but that's just the way I look at it. If I'm going to meditate on the Word, I'm either, and maybe you're sitting at home on Wednesday night meditating on the Word. So if you are, well, that's between you and the Lord. But I get more meditation on the Word when I'm in Sunday school and church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. So enough said about that. Now, we should be studying the Bible on our own. We should be listening to good Bible teachers and preachers. And we should stay for all the services and get involved in the services. And I'm not involved nearly as much as I ought to be. But you'll enjoy it a lot more. You'll get more out of it if you become involved in it. And if you seek it, you usually find it. And if you're not interested in it, you're never going to find it. So if you get interested in the church, and this is a church that's good to be interested in. This is a church that you can highly recommend to anyone. But don't do like my friends and start recommending it to people that are in a good church. Recommend it to somebody that doesn't go to church or somebody that in a church that's not teaching the right things or something like that. Okay, now in verse 3, it says, it's just one of God's promises that I really love. And I try to claim this promise as much as I can, but this is a great promise. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This is not a tree that just springs up. This is a tree that's planted on purpose. You know, there's a difference between trees growing up in the wild out here than one that's planted on purpose. It's not planted in the desert. It's not planted someplace where it can't get any nourishment, but it's planted right beside a river where it could get all the nourishment that it needs. It says, and it will bring forth its fruit in its season. His leaf shall not wither or fade, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And boy, I don't know a single person that doesn't like to prosper. I've been both ways. I like the prospering a lot better than the not prospering. And, of course, this is talking about biblical things, but you can put it in your everyday life, too. I believe this promise is good for not only biblical things, but it's good for our everyday, for our business, for our personal lives, for our marriages, for rearing our children, and for anything. You can claim this promise right out of the Bible for those things in your life. Now, And that is such a promise. Now, we're going to look at some things that happens to folks that they never plan on. And that's the unintended consequences that we hear so much about. Verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so. You know, I don't know anybody that just purposely tries to be ungodly. I can't imagine them in their mind saying, well, I'm just going to do everything mean today that I could possibly do. I just can't imagine people thinking that. Well, there may be somebody, but they're on a different medicine than I'm on, I guess. But it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. The chaff is unlike that tree that's planted with a deep root structure. Chaff is just dust and has no stability. And the ungodly people, God classifies them as being chaff. They have no purpose. They have no structure to their lives. And we may look at people that we consider ungodly, the gangsters and them, and beer joint owners or whatever you'd want to classify them as. Of course, today some churches say they welcome in the beer distributors and the beer bar owners and all that stuff. I just don't understand that. To me, that has been a curse on America. Alcohol has been. I grew up in it, and so I know firsthand what it causes and the problems it causes. So I can't understand anything godly about it. But anyway, it says we see these people prosper sometimes as far as finances go. But you never see, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. You never see what's happening inside them and what's happening when they're laying on their deathbeds. I'd hate to be laying on my deathbed and think that the Lord just looked at me as chaff. Didn't really matter. Didn't have any purpose. And, you know, it's not how we start the game or how we even play the game. It's how we finish the game that really counts. And I've seen so many people that they look like they're really playing a good game, and they finish horribly. And their life's a disaster. And the Bible plainly teaches that. This is just simple stuff. I mean, it's not rocket science by any stretch of the imagination. Verse 5 says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly have got some unintended consequences coming to them that they never planned on. I believe the ungodly are saying, well, you know, my works, I've given a lot to charity. I gave to the Heart Association so that they could do all this research, and I've given to the Cancer Society so they could do all this. And those are good things to do. And they think those good things are going to provide them with some structure, some roots in the ground. But God still considers them as chaff. It says, therefore the godly shall not stand in the judgment. They won't have anything to stand on. And the sinners, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And he knows our ways. I hope that in God's eyes, you're considered righteous. And if it's not, or if you know that it's not, then today you're in a perfect place to get that straightened out. And being righteous in the sight of God may not make you righteous in the sight of man. Because sometimes man forms a wrong opinion, and man looks on the outward appearance, but God always looks on the heart. Our main thing, and sometimes I've been guilty of buying things to impress people that I didn't know and didn't like if I did know them. But God knows them all, and if He considers you righteous, then you're blessed. You are really blessed. And you need to keep that constant contact with God and make sure your righteousness in God's sight is what He's expecting from you. And it says, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. An unintended consequence. I don't think anybody wants to perish. I just can't imagine somebody saying, well, I just want to go to hell. I just can't imagine that. When they're doing the things that they do, I don't think that they really realize that there's a payday someday, that there's judgment coming for all of us. And we need all, as Christians, and I assume that most folks in this classroom today are Christians, but we need to make sure that our ways and our doings are with intended consequences, intended to please the Lord. That should be our intended consequence. And when we do that, then we can read these first three verses and we'll be blessed, we'll be planted, we'll prosper, and it'll make your life so much better. And so that's basically my lesson for today. And when Gary gets back next week, why, you'll be more thankful for him. But I do appreciate you listening, and I hope that there's been something said that you can take with you and help you have a better week. You're dismissed.